Blog Talk Radio.
To a 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Report on for 2 hours today. Yes, yes, yes. It is the day of the primary election day also here in the state of Mississippi. And I see also in the state of Ohio, the vote was no to that initiative that they voted on in Ohio on yesterday's election day, August the 8th. So thank you for tuning in. We'll talk primary election day results here in the state of Mississippi. All eyes always on the state of Mississippi, right? And also No Labels. We'll talk a little bit about the No Labels of movement. I am a leader with No Labels movement. I'm a co-chair, one of the co-chairs here in the state of Mississippi. This beautiful state of Mississippi. I am a longtime member of the No Labels Movement. It is a bipartisan political organization based in Washington, D.C. I've been a member since pretty much when I started this podcast in 2012, soon after it was created. So a big shout out to the leaders and the founders and co-founders and my fellow co-chairs here in the state of Mississippi. Also, and those that support and just want to learn a little bit more about No Labels. But a big shout out to Nancy Jacobson, Ryan Clancy, Margaret White, Becca Wentz, Holly Page. The list goes on and on and on. And hey, they will come on the podcast in the near future. So looking forward to that fun adventure. It's going to be amazing when they come on. But definitely check out No Labels. If you network with me since 2011, 2012, I've always reshared posts, like the Facebook page, follow No Labels on Instagram. The YouTube channel is Off the Chain. No Labels is also on TikTok. So, hey, attend our meetings. We have awesome Zoom meetings. Mission Control was held yesterday. But we have consistent Zoom meetings and town hall meetings. And it's just amazing. This amazing information where Republicans, Democrats, Independents come together. The Problem Solver Caucus, that's the brand of No Labels. And so, hey, we got to solve these problems. Big shout out, though, I must say. It's going to be a big race in November. Our incumbent governor, he won. Governor Tate Reeves, Republican, he will be going at it with Brandon Presley. Brandon Presley is one of Elvis Presley's cousins. He will be, and they are going at each other. They are going at each other, really, really. But I am Republican, and I didn't switch over and vote on a Democrat side on yesterday during the primaries. I stayed loyal and committed. So I voted of course, for my Republican friend and favorite. And a big shout out to our incumbent Democratic sheriff who won. That was a crazy race. Also, our incumbent Hinds County Sheriff Tyree Jones versus our former interim Hinds County Sheriff Marshawn Chrysler. So big shout out to our incumbent Sheriff Tyree Jones. A big shout out to all the winners. I'll do a rundown of the list of winners and who's going to be vying for the spot in November from the Democratic side and from the Republican side and independents and all that great stuff. But election season will be happening completely here in the state of Mississippi throughout 2025 because we have this happening with our very important state and local and county elections, plus, presidential elections. You know, so many of us are doing our best to be informed on what's going on with the presidential race, and that's why No Labels is, we're doing our part. No Labels has not endorsed any candidate. And is not working with any candidate secretly. The deal with No Labels is to make sure that our candidates are showing up for us and have a for putting the country before politics, putting we the people before politics. That's what I'm saying for now. So thank you for tuning in. Congratulations to Neptune Beach, Florida. Neptune Beach, Florida. The public in Neptune Beach, Florida is where the winning $1 billion-plus ticket was purchased. Big shout out to that winner. Cousin Linda and I, you all know, we were just talking about how Cousin Linda mentioned that it seems weird that it seems as if no one wins in the South. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, she brought that to my attention because I had noticed that, too, I'm sure many of you. And we mentioned from Texas, from the Southwest to the Southeast, in the Deep South here, we never see the big lottery winners. But now it it's in the book. Big winner in Florida, Neptune Beach, Florida. So big shout out and congratulations to the winner. Yay. Love that song. Happy, happy birthday to fellow August babies and Leos, kings and queens out there. Happy birthday to someone Cousin Linda and I talk often about. That's right. Salt Bae is his birthday. I think it's Coach Prime's birthday, too. It's a lot of birthdays this week. We kicked off the week with the former president, Barack Obama's birthday. So big shout out to, oh, my cousin, our cousin Gary's birthday is tomorrow, and mine is Friday. So a big shout out to everyone who's celebrating their birthdays this month, Leos and August babies, and those of you that are back at school and heading back to school, big shout out. Seeing some of my neighborhood, some of the children in the neighborhood, they were very stylish. I had to compliment them on their fashion attire. So that's good for the kids to look great and be fresh. The temperatures are cooler now, even though we're getting back into the three digits. We have a cool off and some rain finally. Just big shout out to everyone, the world, all listeners here in the States and in around the world abroad. Big shout out to our military forces that listen also from around the world. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for everyone that are working hard for good and for peace, not love, not hate, but love. That love is the focus. So you are listening to Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports, and I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. I am just pulling up some more info regarding our election. Primary election day, the stats are Governor for Republican primary, Tate Reeves. He won 74 against Joan Wichter and David Hardigree. Lieutenant Governor Republican primary, Delbert Hoseman, beat out Chris McDaniel and Tiffany Longino, 52%. You know, if you don't get that 50, you have to be a runoff. Insurance Commissioner Republican primary, Mike Cheney. Agricultural Commissioner Democratic primary, Robert Bradford, 52% over Bethany Hill and Terry Rogers. Public Service Commissioner Southern Republican primary, Nelson Carr, 54%. Governor Democratic primary, Brandon Presley. Lieutenant Governor Democratic primary, Ryan Grover. Attorney General Democratic primary, Greta Kemp Martin. Attorney General Republican primary, Lynn Fitch. Auditor Democratic primary, Larry Bradford. Auditor Republican primary, Chad White. Secretary of State Democratic primary, Cherokee Young. Secretary of State Republican primary, Michael Watson. He's not incumbent. Treasurer Democratic primary, Addie Green. Treasurer Republican primary, David McRae. Insurance Commissioner Democratic primary, Bruce Burton. Agriculture Commissioner Republican primary, Andy Gibson. Commission Central Democratic primary, DeKeither Stamp. Public Service Commission Central Republican primary, Brent Bailey. Public Service Commission Northern Republican primary, Chris Brown. Transportation Commission Central Democratic primary, Willie Simmons. Transportation Commission Central Republican primary, Ricky Pennington. Transportation Commission Northern, John Caldwell. Transportation Commission Southern, Charles Busby. State Senate District 6 Democratic primary, Chad McMahon beat out Lauren Smith by 57%. State Senate District 9 Republican primary, Nicole Board beat out Ricky Caldwell by 76%. State Senate District 13 Democratic primary, Sarita Simmons beat out Mark S. Buckner 66%. State Senate District 14 Republican primary, Lydia Chez Neal, beat out Billy Nix, 59%. State Senate District 15 Republican primary, Bart Williams beat out Alan Sibley. Senate District 19 Republican primary, Kevin Blackwell beat out Walter Hopper by 39%. State Senate District 21 Republican primary, Joey Silligan beat out Robert Cole by 78%. State Senate District 24 Republican primary, David Jordan beat out Everett Hill by 59%. State Senate District 27 Democratic primary, him and Fraser beat out Marvin Hightower by 60%. Mr. Hillman is a longtime incumbent. Big shout out to him on that victory. State Senate District 29 Democratic primary, David Blunt beat out Pastor Dwayne Pickett by 79%. Big shout out to David Blunt. He is definitely a lawmaker that works hard at being bipartisan. State Senate District 36 Republican primary, Jared Morrison beat out Brian Rhodes by 53%. State Senate District 37 Democratic primary, Ever Butler beat out Shirley Sandifer by 69%. Senate District 40 Republican primary, Angela Burks Hill beat out Andrew Richton by 83%. State Senate District 42 Republican primary, Robin Robinson beat out Don Harkness by 56%. State Senate District 47 Republican primary, Joseph Seymour beat Scott Strickland by 58%. State House District 1 Republican primary, Lester Carpenter. This is my screen. I sent my water. Wait, come on, Lester. Lester Carpenter. Let's see. Oh, here I am. Lester Carpenter beat out Corey Linton by 82%. State House District 2 Republican primary, Nick Bain beat out Brandon Mattox and Chris Wilson by 48%. State House District 6 Republican primary, Justin King beat out James Wallace by 57%. State House District 7 Republican primary, Kimberly Remack beat out James Goodkind and Pedurian Walker. State House District 10 Republican primary, Josh Hawkins won over Brandy Wilson and Lawson Gray. State House District 20 Republican primary, Rodney Hall beat out Charlie Hoops, 55%. State House District 27 Democratic primary, Kenji Holloway won over James Woods, 54%. State House District 28 Republican primary, W.I. Harris won over John Williams, 67%. State House District 30 Democratic primary, Tracy Rosebud beat out Watson Turnipseed and Cedric Smith. State House District 31 Democratic primary, Otis Anthony won over C. Sade Turnipseed. State House District 33 Republican primary, Jim Estrada won over Dennis Noel and Jonathan Dantzler. State House District 36 Democratic primary, Carl Gibbs beat Terrell Harris. State House District 40 Republican primary, Jacob Hightall won over Charlie Roberts. State House District 46 Republican primary, Carl Oliver won over William Downs. State House District 45 Democratic primary, Keith Jackson won over Kenny Rush. State House District 48 Republican primary, Jason White won over Cliff Hayes. State House District 51 Democratic primary, Tamika not Mika, Tamaka James Jones, won over Rufus Strader. State House District 52 Republican primary, Lance Varner won over Jeremy Lee. State House District 55 Democratic primary, Oscar Denton won over Kimberly Stevens. State House District 58 Republican primary, Jonathan McMillan beat out Bob Anderson and Jonathan Berry. State House District 63 Democratic primary, Stephanie Foster beat over Donamon White. State House District 66 Democratic primary, Fabian Nelson won against competitors with Shonda Harris-Allen and Greg Divinity. State House District 59 Democratic primary, Tamara Butler Washington won by 48%, Patty Patterson 30%, Ivor Steptoe 17%, and Alan Cole 5%. That was for retired Alice Clark's position, the Honorable Alice Clark. State House District 72 Democratic primary, Justice Gibbs Raquel won over the mayor's sister, who is a hardworking leader in our community and our state, Raquel Lumumba, Sonora's Green, who is another, all of my hard workers, Sonora's Green and Edlene Singler. Justice Gibbs will be replacing his mother. That was his mother's spot. So State House District 79 Republican primary, Mark Tullis Cockrell at 71%. State House District 81 Republican primary, Stephen Holm won over Ben Shirley. State House District 85 Democratic primary, Jeffrey Harness won over Richard Buford. State House District 87 Republican primary, Joseph Cubb beat out Kim Taylor Fagan. State House District 88 Republican primary, Charles D. Blackwell won over Christopher S. Hodge. State House District 95 Republican primary, Jay McKnight won over John Barnes. State House District 98 Democratic primary, Daryl Porter won over Lance Brown. State House District 100 Republican primary, Ken Morgan won over Jacob Brogan. State House District 104 Republican primary, Larry Byrd won over Blake Nobles. State House District 105 Republican primary, Elliot Birch won over Dale Gooden and Matt Brewer. State House District 107 Republican primary, Ronald Lott won over Doug McLeod. State House District 108 Republican primary, Stacey Hobgood Wilkes won over Elena Campo. State House District 110 Democratic primary, Anderson won over Cheryl Stallworth. State House District 111 Republican primary, David Funch beat out Eric Camp. Jimmy Fundren won 70% over David Funch and Eric Camp. State House District 112 Republican primary, John Reed won over Tim Acock. State House District 115 Republican primary, Zachary Grady, Republican, this is the Republican primary, won over Felix Gines and Phil Harden. State House District 118 Republican primary, Greg Haney beat out Raymond Brooks. State House District 121 Republican primary, Carolyn Crawford won over Jeff Wallace. State House District 122 Republican primary, Brent Anderson beat Micah Tinkler. And State House District 23 Republican primary, Andrew Stepp won over Perry Bailey. So, woo-wee, there's the rundown list of who is running the Capitol. Or who's elected and reelected to run the Capitol. So Lieutenant Governor, Insurance Commissioner, everybody I voted for won. So it's Winning Wednesday. So big shout out to everyone who's winning. Those opponents, those that didn't win, and to the winners. This is just the primaries, and we have November the 7th to put in our calendars for general election. So general election, what, for the state of Mississippi and Ohio when it comes to voting on that a very important initiative. But remember, those of you that have not registered to vote, and those of you that not sure of the poll stations that you need to go to, next time you vote, wherever you are, it's very important to find out. To find out, and let's encourage those that need to vote, those that are turning 18, let's encourage others to vote, to rock their vote, to believe in their power at the polls, and to be simply interested in our political process. Big shout out to all of you, to the BTR community, to the listeners. Thank you for your loyalty. Blast out emails. Send me emails, us emails. If you have any show ideas or would like to be a guest on the show, or we'd like to suggest a hot topic, at CultureShock, CultureShockENT, _bet@yahoo.com, CultureShockENT, _bet@yahoo.com, CultureShockENT, _bet@yahoo.com. Those that would like to send money in support of the podcast, which will be reinvested into the growth of the podcast, send to Cash App, $ bet, BETH, BTRU. Well, not bet, let me start over. Well, it is bet, but let me say exactly the way it is. $ BETH, BTRU, CultureShock. $ BETH, BTRU, CultureShock. $, because I have to hear things thrice. KULTRESHOKENT_BENT@yahoo.com. And thank you so much in advance. Also, big shout out to my Avon coaches, Myla Gross and Carlo and her business partner, her husband. They are amazing coaches. They are based in Florida also. To my Avon coaches, to my Avon family, to fellow reps. Avon, talking about Washington, D.C., I'm not attending, but there's a big convention, the Avon Convention. So my friends, I have many friends in D.C. too. You all are getting ready to be invaded in pink. I'm just letting you all know. And Barbie's not in town. She might be in town, but it will be the Avon Men and Women. Avon Convention will be held on my birthday, 11 and 12 in D.C. So big shout out to the Avon community and those of you that love Avon and haven't shot with Avon. What's going on with you? I'm an Avon lady. I've loved Avon since I was born. You hear Cousin Linda talk about it. My family have always loved Avon. Perfect back to school Labor Day. Holiday shopping has started for Christmas and all holidays. Avon now, I have invited my coaches. I just need to set a scheduled date for my coach to come on and talk about how she became a self-made millionaire of Avon. Her story is amazing. So looking forward to that show also. So I just want to make that shout out and a big shout out to just the community. It's a community of listeners. I just want to take the time out to share my gratitude and my gratitude to my cousin Linda for being a part of the broadcast and each and every one who have ever been a guest co-host or also a guest host, Sean Alexander Hamilton, who's been promoting his new book that he and his kids have written. I know he took over and guest hosted the show for many months. So looking forward to his return also to update us on his projects and books that he has written and other important endeavors that he has been experiencing. So I also want to shout out Grant Cardone's wife, Elena Cardone. I participated in one of her Lena's Elite Ladies Empower Mindset calls last night, and it was just amazing to attend one of her academy classes in person. I know it would just be so gratifying and life-changing. Being a student of she and her husband has been amazing, but to actually be a part of this call, this intimate private call, was just an amazing experience on last night. So a big shout out to Elena Cardone and her husband, Grant Cardone, and their team, because that was just amazing. So I just had to make the big shout out. And also last week, it was amazing being a part of the Own Your Future Challenge with Tony Robbins also. That was an amazing experience. And big shout out to Tony Robbins. My coach is, Avon coach is a big, big follower of his teaching also. And I've loved Tony Robbins' personal power back in the late 80s. Yeah. So, again, thank you all for your and. And Cousin Linda joins us at 11. You know, we are going to talk a lot about world hot topics and especially that win and lottery ticket. That's one reason why I have not just gone deep because she and I have discussed what we're going to share some of the do's and don'ts when you do win a lottery ticket. And, you know, we talked a little yesterday on that subject matter and she was like, first thing they tell us to do is hire a financial advisor, but some of us feel that we can do good, you know, managing our own money. That's the money that we could save or reinvest on our own. But if you would like to call in, you can call in also at 516-595-8255, 516-595-8255. I'm like the view, and we'll be saying when we write our own stuff. I am just pulling up my notes and all that good stuff, being by myself. So I just want to share a little bit that's on our website at No Labels. What No Labels Believe. And this is from last summer. This moment demands American leaders and citizens alike declare their freedom from the anger and divisiveness that are ruining our politics and, most importantly, our country. We must recommit to the fundamental beliefs that have historically united Americans and provide a common understanding of who we are and where we hope to go. Here are the enduring beliefs that guide No Labels. Beliefs that we hope will once again guide the political and policy choices of our leaders. We believe in an ethic of mutual responsibility in which both government and citizens owe something to one another. Citizens have a responsibility to contribute to our country in the best way they can, be it to our economy, their families, communities, or civic life. And in return, they have a right to expect the government to be responsible for upholding the law, maintaining public safety, helping care for those who cannot care for themselves, and tackling the problems too large for citizens or private actors to solve alone. We believe in equality of opportunity in which every American is empowered to get a good education, to pursue their dreams free from bias or discrimination of any kind, and to go as far as their talents and drive can take them. We also believe that government policy should encourage and cultivate these gifts. We believe in Americans' fundamental right to think, speak, worship, and assemble however they choose. We believe the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is first for a reason, because if we ever lose this right, we lose everything. We believe there is no such thing as something for nothing, and because of this, we believe in the importance of a balanced budget. The growing tendency of both parties to support more tax cuts or government spending with no regard for their impact on future generations will lead to a lower quality of life for our children and grandchildren and make it harder for America to tackle future challenges to our national, economic, and environmental security. We believe Americans being united at home makes us stronger abroad. The Chinese Communist Party, Russia, and other totalitarian regimes that threaten American interests benefit from and seek to exploit America's internal divisions. In previous eras, America's leaders have embraced the idea that politics should stop at the water's edge, and they must do so once again. These beliefs have underpinned American democracy since its founding. If they seem new to some, it's only because too many in our public life have forgotten or ignored them. These beliefs are the foundation upon which we must rebuild our country. We must rebuild our country. We seek to restore America's faith that democracy remains the best means to bring out the good in every one of us, thus ensuring a brighter future for generations to come. Right, and a brighter now, a brighter right now. And rebuild our country, and rebuild our country one community, one neighborhood at a time. You know, one reason why I created, we created World Wednesday, because we want to make this world a better place, and we start right with our world among us. So it's so important for us to rebuild our country and create world peace by doing the best we can to serve one another. So again, no labels. Check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and also the website. But I just wanted to share that on the website, on the write-up, nolabels.org. That is on the about. We have the Common Sense booklet that is out, and I've shared it with many of my friends and many of you on social media also. But I am going to go into what we mean when we talk about the insurance policy for 2024, the No Labels movement. No Labels is working to ensure Americans have the choice to vote for a presidential ticket that features strong, effective, and honest leaders who will commit to working closely with both parties to find common sense solutions to America's biggest problems. Now, I did mention that No Labels have not endorsed any presidential candidate. We're reviving with who's going to be representing Republican and Democrat parties and their platforms. But the insurance policy is a unity ticket, an insurance policy of combining Republican and Democrat. A unity ticket of running together, just to say, for those of you that do not know that. So I am going to play something for you to listen to.
What happens when the American people want something different than what the two-party establishment in Washington wants to provide? We're about to find out. In 2024, the parties may offer up two historically unpopular candidates for president. Two-thirds of Americans don't want this rematch, and No Labels is going to do something about it. We're working to get ballot access in states nationwide to lay the groundwork for the will of the common sense majority and can solve the problems that matter to them most. Inflation and the debt spiral. Border security and protection for the dreamers. Making sure that no child goes to bed hungry or wakes up to a failing school. No Labels research and polling is telling a clear story. A ticket like this could win the electoral college.
A glitch happened, but if I can get it back right, I will share that with you. A little glitch happened. So if I can get that back to playing for you, I definitely will. But the strategy is we're preparing for the possibility of nominating a candidate. We have not yet committed to do so yet. For those that are spreading rumors that No Labels is endorsing and have candidates, not true. We will run on only under the proper environmental conditions which must be met for us to proceed. We will measure these conditions rigorously through regular polling and research. The Washington, and then here's the memo, the Washington establishment is often so certain and so wrong about the future. Remember when they told you a Republican red wave was coming in the 2022 midterms? Or that Hillary Clinton had a 100% chance of winning the election in 2016 against Donald Trump. Keep this in mind next time you hear that an independent ticket could never win the White House in 2024. No Labels has spent more than a year investigating whether it is possible. We surveyed more than 50,000 people across several different polls. a most recent poll conducted by Harris X in December 2022 included responses from more than 26,000 registered voters, including representative samples in all 50 states. We aren't aware of any other poll that's been conducted in the 2024 election cycle with a sample this large or this grander. Modeled every state in the country and gathered some 600,000 signatures on our way to get nationwide ballots. Most voters think the U.S. is on the wrong track. Our research reveals in a public that is tired, frustrated, and pessimistic about the country's future and their own prospects. They have had it with political leaders who fixate on yesterday's hatreds and grievances instead of focusing on the future. The common sense majority believes in America can do better, and our research reveals they could propel in an independent unity ticket to an outright victory in the Electoral College in 2024. And we talked about the Electoral College last week, remember? This kind of ticket would draw an equal share of support from both major parties, according to our latest polls. For the last decade, No Labels has been working to combat the anger and extremist consuming our politics. We have created a growing national movement of common sense Americans pushing our leaders together to solve our country's biggest problems. And we created the first of its kind House Problem Solvers Caucus and an allied Senate group that were the force behind historic bipartisan achievements like the 2021 infrastructure bill. And I have been invited to some of their early morning Zoom meetings, and that's an awesome group of senators. But as much as our allies achieved in Congress, the most powerful forces in both major parties are still driven by ideology and identity politics instead of common sense. Right, a lot of this is just common sense. I mean, you all know my favorite subject in public school, history and government, American government, and a lot of these solutions are common sense and not college government, but like high school government, junior high school government. A lot of things we can just use our common sense and think back to our government classes back in the day, you know, and students nowadays, that's probably why we get so many teams running now, because they're thinking, this is just common sense. What's so hard, you know? What's so hard cutting through some of this red tape? But as much as our allies achieved in Congress, the most powerful forces in both major parties are still driven by ideology and identity politics instead of common sense. The dominant leaders of both parties can or won't break us out of this vicious cycle. That's why in late 2021, No Labels began laying the groundwork for a potential independent unity ticket in 2024. We're well aware of any independent ticket faces a steep climb, and if our rigorously gathered data and polling suggests an independent unity ticket can't win, we won't force it and offer our line to a ticket that can't win. Going forward, our project will proceed down one of two paths. The major parties wake up. They see the growing voice and leverage of the common sense majority and nominate candidates and release policy platforms that cater to the needs of this majority instead of the wants of a partisan minority. If at least one of the major parties does this, there's no need or path for an independent unity ticket. And No Labels will stand down and double down on the great work we're doing in Congress. Okay. Next, No Labels nominates a unity ticket. You know, if all else fails, but, you know, we're doing our best, believe in both our parties. No Labels nominates a unity ticket. Both parties keep forcing the American people down the road they don't want to go and nominate candidates most Americans don't want to vote for. If this happens and No Labels polling and research show there is a path to victory for a unity ticket to win in the Electoral College, then we will offer our ballot line to a ticket. 5 reasons nobody knows anything about 2024. No Labor's 2024 project is an insurance policy that the American public wants and needs. And our research and polling shows there are at least 5 reasons why Washington's conventional wisdom brigade is wrong about the prospects and impact of an independent ticket in 2024. Number one, Americans like choices. They want more choices. In December 2022, just checking to see if anyone's calling. In December 2022, No Labor surveyed 26,230 registered voters, including 400 to 800 in every state. 64% said they wanted more options than just Democrats and Republicans when selecting a president, including 65% of Democrats, 55% Republicans, and 75% of independents. Specifically, 59% said they'll be open to voting for a moderate independent ticket in 2024. If the alternatives were Trump and Biden, to win outright in the Electoral College, a moderate independent ticket needs only 61% of these voters who report they are open to voting for one. That equates to 37% of the entire electorate. None of this should be surprising because Americans are leaving the two major parties in droves. In February 2023, 44% told Gallup they considered themselves independent, compared to just 28% who identified as Democrats and 27% as Republicans. It's hard to overstate just how frustrated and disaffected Americans are right now. 3/4 of them disapprove of Congress, think the country is on the wrong track, and don't feel represented by the major leaders in either party. Half of Americans say they are worse off financially compared to a year ago, the most negative reading since 2009. Guess what Americans identify as the single biggest problem in the country? Our leaders in Washington. Number two, no one has ever built an infrastructure, an independent, like the one No Labels is building for 2024. Politics is a game of expectations, and Americans have been conditioned by the majority party establishment to view any independent presidential candidacy with fear. But the public, 82% of them whom say they resent that leaders in politics listen more to radicals than to the majority, is increasingly turning out the tired voices of anger and division. Since early last year, No Labels has been gathering petition signatures in states across the country to get on the ballot in 2024. We're already on the ballot in several states and on track to be on the ballot in 28 by year's end. We're building a data vault to target and turn out the common sense majority in the 2024 election, and we have released the Common Sense Policy Agenda later in 2023. In short, we're building a launching pad, an independent unity ticket, the likes of which America has never seen. We don't just believe there is a path to victory for an independent unity ticket. We know what it could look like based on our polling and modeling exercise from December 2022. Thirdly, 2024 could be the revenge of the no-show. Here is the untold story of the 2020 presidential election. Even though overall turnout was historically high, a growing share of American voters who usually vote did not vote specifically because they did not like the choices from either party. According to a 2020 post-election Ipsos poll, 80 million Americans who could have voted did not. And 20%, 16 million, said it was because they didn't like either candidate. Disliking the candidates also the top reason for not voting cited by non-voters with college degrees. The universe of voters who rejected choices from both major parties is growing too. When No Labels first polled among the electorate in December 2021, we identified 64.5 million registered voters who were open to voting for a moderate independent presidential ticket. When we did the same exercise in December 22, the universe had grown to 77.1 million, with the most significant growth occurring among minority voters. In short, there is a bigger, broader, and more diverse group of voters hungry, hungry for an alternative. Some Americans are politically disengaged and never voted, but there are millions of other Americans who care, who usually vote and would do so again in 2024 if they have a choice they like. Number four, and again, I have five, so one more to this. Number four, the spoiler logic of the spoiler argument. Some think Ralph Nader spoiled the 2000 presidential election for Al Gore. And ever since, partisans have used this as a cudgel to beat down the threat of an independent ticket. But Ralph Nader in 2000 and Jill Stein in 2016 were left-wing protest candidates who unsurprisingly won most of their votes from Democratic and self-described liberal voters who might otherwise have voted for Gore and Clinton. The last time an independent made a play for the vast middle of the electorate with a ticket running on No Labels line will do in 2022 was Ross Perot in 1992. And Perot didn't spoil anything. In November 5th, 1992, New York Times story cited exit polling showing if Mr. Perot had not been on the ballot, 38% of his voters said they would have voted for Governor Bill Clinton, and 38% said they would have voted for President Bush, while 24% would have not voted at all. Perot only got 19% of the popular vote and no electoral vote. And if not for some notable missteps, he might have gotten a lot more. Remember, Perot was leading the race in late as June 1992, and 39% compared to 31% for Bush and 25% for Clinton. Perot left the race in July. Strange and claiming political operatives were trying to wiretap his office and ruin his daughter's wedding before reentering the race in September. His vice president had arguably the worst televised debate performance in U.S. history. On election day 1992, voter research and surveys as a national sample of 3,900 voters leaving the polling place, they would have voted for Perot if they thought he had a chance to win. 40% said they would have voted for Perot compared to 21% for Clinton and 27% for Bush. Okay, so lastly, number five, Americans don't want a Trump-Biden rematch in 2024. They think we can do better. No Labels December 2022 poll shows 69% of registered voters want Joe Biden to run for president in 2024. 62% don't want Donald Trump to run. More recent polls show an even greater share of Americans who don't want a 2020 rematch. Behind closed doors and safety of anonymous quotes, most of Washington knows 2024 is a disaster waiting to happen. Democratic leaders are privately wringing their hands about Biden, and few Republican leaders still hope to stop Trump. But publicly, leading Democrats have called behind a Biden run while Trump continues to lead. So why are both parties marching toward nominating such historical unpopular candidates? It's simply really in this era of negative polarization, Americans increasingly vote against rather than for candidates. So party poopahs figure they can count on the same cynical but typical effective sell to the American people. You may not like candidates, but you really hate the other guy. So stick with us, but the American people are increasingly rejecting this fear of mongering. They know America can do better. A lot can change in the next year, and the Labels doesn't claim to know the future. But something is brewing in America, and there's enough evidence that an independent unity ticket could gain traction in 2024 to suggest this could be one of those unique American movements that finally changes the trajectory of the country. The Clemens' majority in America is strong, it is growing, and it is ready to be heard. Those who think otherwise are misreading the public. So... And send emails to info@nolabels.org. Go to the website if you're interested in becoming a member. Become a member. If you would like to attend our one-on-one classes and mission control Zoom meetings, definitely sign up. Also, so I just wanted to share some insight on the No Labels movement. The No Labels movement. So that's the end of the first hour, and I will be resharing and reposting our Common Sense Policy booklet also for those of you that are interested in reading it. And many of my friends read it when I sent it to them. I began reading it. So thank you all for those that would like to know more and also interested in joining the Labels movement. It's Republicans, Democrats, Independents is coming together because we want the country to be first. So again, thank you for your love and your support. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, so we're starting the second hour. Welcome to the second hour of Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Winning. This is the Winning Wednesday, right? Winning Wednesday. The winning mindset. Sharing that winning mindset around the world. So thank you for tuning in. So I'm reading the article from the Washington Post. Winning tickets sold for Mega Millions jackpot. Reading the headlines. Many headlines out there. Someone won the estimated $1.58 billion Mega Millions jackpot on Tuesday. Night, the largest Mega Millions jackpot ever. The winning numbers were 13, 19, 20, 32, 33, and the Mega Ball was 14. The winning ticket was sold in Florida. So the Southeast getting some love, according to Mega Millions. The winner can walk away with a lump sum cash option of $783.3 million, which jackpot winners almost always opt for. I know I definitely would. Like, give me my lump cash. Give me my lump sum. Give me my money. Give me my cash. which jackpot winners almost always opt for or choose to be paid through an annuity with payments over 30 years. Experts say that winners should talk to financial advisors and lawyers to ensure they are making the best decisions with the winning amount. Lottery winners put themselves in the nation's highest income tax bracket. That's amazing how your life can change like that. That is amazing. So definitely sending them many blessings. Lottery winners put themselves in the nation's highest income tax bracket of between 35% and 37%. Because the IRS treats lottery winners as ordinary income. Look, IRS like it's money. Money. No matter how you got it, it's money. Congratulations, but you still got to pay your taxes. Before Tuesday, there have been 31 straight draws without a Mega Million jackpot winner. The grand prize for $20 million pot was drawn on April 18, according to Mega Million. Before Tuesday's record win, the largest Mega Millions jackpot had been for $1.537 billion, won in October 2018. But this is not the largest lottery jackpot in recent times. The winning ticket for a Powerball jackpot in November was $2.04 billion. Billion dollars. Making sure I don't run out of juice on my phone. Okay. My apologies. Thank you. Billion-dollar jackpots are coming more frequently because lotto companies have engineered lower odds for the games, experts say. And then there's a question in parentheses. How likely are you to win the lottery? Mega Millions tweaked the rules of this game in 2017. According to its website, up in the starting jackpot from $15 million to $40 million and increasing the ticket price from $1 to $2, it lengthened the odds of winning the top prize from 1 in 258,890,000 plus to 1 in 302,575,350, the Washington Post reported. Woo, that's a mouthful. At that time, the largest Mega Millions jackpot had been a $656 million prize, split three ways in 2012. Its $5 billion jackpots have come since the 2017 change, Mega Millions says. The last time the Mega Millions jackpot crested $1 billion was in January. An investment group claimed the $1.348 billion, which is $723.5 million cash in Maine. Yeah, I remember that one. Tickets are sold in 45 states, D.C., and U.S. Virgin Islands. Tickets are $2 each. In most jurisdictions, players can add the mega player for an additional dollar to multiply their non-jackpot prices. Drawings are conducted at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays and Fridays in Atlanta. So, woo! So that is amazing. Wow. That is amazing. So congratulations to the winner.
America with Mega Jackpot. It's Mega Millions.
Hello, America. I'm John Cronin. Tuesday, August 8th. And tonight's record-breaking Mega Millions jackpot is an estimated annuitized $1.58 billion. To win that jackpot, you must bet these 5 white balls plus that gold Mega Ball. Now, let's see if I can make you a billionaire tonight. Our first winning number tonight is 32. That's followed by 19. Up next, we have 13. Your next number is 33, and your final white ball number for this evening is 20. Now for the mega ball number, that is 14. Again, tonight's winning numbers are 32, 19, 13, 33, 20, and the gold mega ball is 14. Now, no matches all six numbers. Friday's jackpot should be more than $1.8 billion. Good luck and play on, America.
Woo! That is amazing. I need to play that again.
America with Mega Jackpot. It's Mega Millions.
I'm Jenna Crow, Tuesday, August 8th, and tonight's record-breaking Mega Millions jackpot is an estimated annuitized $1.58 billion. To win that jackpot, you must bet these 5 white balls plus that gold Mega Ball. Now, let's see if I can make you a billionaire tonight. Our first winning number tonight is 32, that's followed by 19. Up next, we have 13. Your next number is 33, your final white ball number for this evening is 20. Now for the mega ball number, that is 14. Again, tonight's 20 numbers are 32, 19, 13, 33, 20, and the gold mega ball is 14. Now, no matches all six numbers. Friday's jackpot should be more than $1.8 billion. Good luck and play on, America.
Woo-hoo! That is amazing. Winning numbers 32, 9, 20. The mega ball was 14. The mega plier, 2 times 2x. So the estimated jackpot was $1.58 billion, and number winners won. The retailer location for the winning ticket sold was Florida Public Stores number 1367, located on 630 Atlanta Boulevard, Neptune Beach. So big shout out to all of you. And what I'm looking at is showing also that three largest U.S. jackpots have been won in states where the winning tickets were sold. Number one, $2.404 billion, like I mentioned earlier, Powerball, November the 8th, 2022, one ticket from California. Secondly, $1.586 billion, Powerball, January 13th, 2016, three tickets from California, Florida, and Tennessee. Number three, $1.537 billion, Mega Millions, October the 23rd, 2018, one ticket from South Carolina. The largest Florida lottery winner before last night shared a $1.59 billion Powerball jackpot in 2016. The prize money is subject to federal taxes. Many states also tax lottery winners. Mega Millions is played in 45 states, Washington, D.C., U.S. Virgin Islands, as I mentioned earlier. Where is Neptune Beach, Florida? Neptune Beach is a beachfront city east of Jacksonville in Duval County. When the majority of Duval County consolidated with Jacksonville in 1968, I was born. Neptune Beach, along with Jacksonville Beach, Atlantic Beach, and Baldwin, remained their own municipalities. Where is the Publix in Neptune Beach? This Publix at 630 Atlanta Boulevard is actually a block away from another new Publix that opened. Cousin Linda was texting me. The Publix, my apologies, Cousin Linda had texted me. I wonder why she wasn't on call. Where is the Publix in Neptune Beach? The Publix at 630 Atlanta Boulevard is actually a block away from another new Publix that opened a couple months ago, replacing the Lucky's Market. The new Publix features pours, a space where customers can sip wine, drink a cold draft beer, and dug in a smoothie or savor a good couple coffee while shopping. Wow, that's nice. It's a little strange to have two side by side, but Publix previously told Times Union news partner First Coast News that many factors go into determining where to open a new location, and a new store will alleviate congestion in stores in addition to allowing for the best traffic patterns in a particular area. That is cool. Also spotlighting this innovative way that Publix is doing business too. I like that. It's cool. It's a little strange. Okay. The fact is going to determine where to open a new location, and the new store will alleviate congestion stores in addition to allowing for the best traffic patterns in a particular area. There is a similar situation with two Publix locations in St. Augustine. The stores on Tuscan Way and Village Commons Drive are right across the street from each other, about 1,600 feet apart. How much does the retailer get for selling the winning mega ticket? Publix will receive $100,000 for selling the winning ticket. It starts at $20,000 and increases by $5,000 with each rollover up to $100,000, according to the Florida Lottery's Retailer Bonus Commission. So what are the top 10 largest Mega Millions jackpots ever? According to this website, here are the top 10 Mega Millions jackpots as of August 8th, 2023. Going from, you know, least to the top winner, the most recent. Number 10, $533 million, March 30th, 2018, New Jersey. Number 9, $536 million, July 8th, 2016, Indiana. Number 8, $543 million, July 24th, 2018, California. Number 7, $648 million, December 17th, 2013, California and Georgia. Number 6, $656 million, March 30th, 2012, Illinois, Kansas, and Maryland. Number 5, $1.05 billion, January 22nd, 2021, Michigan. Number 4, $1.337 billion. July 29th, 2022, that's Illinois. Number 3, $1.35 billion, January 13th, 2023, Maine. Number 2, $1.537 billion, October 23, 2018, South Carolina. And number 1, last night, winning $1.58 billion, August 2023. Florida. Woo! So happy for the winner. Wow. So happy. Let's see. Going to play this report. And this is from the Jacksonville, Florida Times Union, Scott Butler.
Definitely, but we're going to find out who did eventually, right? They have 180 days to claim that prize. We're going to check in now with Tristan Hardy. I believe we have him live right now in Neptune Beach. Tristan, I can only imagine the excitement. Right now it's dark. No one's out there just yet, but this is really some exciting news.
Look, guys, if someone had told me that you can win $1.58 billion just by spending $2 at a Publix, don't you think I would have done the same thing? There's a Publix that's near my apartment. So best believe, congratulations to the person who won all that money. All I ask is you just slide me a couple thousand my way. I'm not asking for much, just slide a couple thousand. But catch this, it's $1.58 billion, you're getting paid in 30 annual installments. I did the math before I got in front of the camera. That's $52 million. Every payment, 30 payments, $52 million. You see why I'm asking, slide me a couple thousand my way? That's just water in the bucket to you. And the chances of winning a Mega Millions prize, no matter the cost, is 1 in 302.6 million. That's incredible. So you just to put it even more perspective, look at it like this. A Syracuse mathematics professor said that you can buy a lottery ticket every day for 80 years, two times a week, and you would still have a bigger chance of being struck by lightning than winning a prize. So congratulations. We're going to be here all morning long for this Mega Millions prize winner. So I'm going to send it back to you guys in the studio. We're live in Neptune Beach. I'm Tristan Hardy, First Coast News, on your side.
And to be perfectly clear, the winner does not have to go to that Publix. It's just fun to be there in the moment where it all happened. They're going to have to make their way over to Tallahassee. They get to remain anonymous for they eventually will know their name, but 90 days after they claim their prize, they can still
we're
remain
all
anonymous.
Gonna know.
So
we're
that
all
way.
All come to say hi.
Thank you. We'll check in all morning. Bye.
That is awesome. Wow. That is awesome. I'm going to replay that for you all. I look in for myself. That is amazing. If a glitch doesn't happen again, I would try to replay it.
News of the morning is that Mega Millions ticket has been sold. I think the emphasis has got to be on the fact that it is the one and only winning ticket across the entire United States. Sold right here in Duval County.
So y'all woke up this morning to the news, kind of like, wait a minute, who won? Do you know the person who won? It's so close to home, so close, but yet so far.
Right.
Did you buy a ticket, by the
way? No.
You
no,
did not?
No,
yeah.
No.
I don't know.
Definitely
but we're
going
to find out who did eventually, right? They have 180 days to claim that prize. We're going to
sure.
check in now with Tristan Hardy. I believe we have him live right now in Neptune Beach. Tristan, I can only imagine the excitement. Right now it's dark. No one's out there just yet, but this is really some exciting news.
Look, guys, if someone had told me that you can win $1.58 billion just by spending $2 at a Publix, don't you think I would have done the same thing? There's a Publix that's near my apartment. So best believe, congratulations to the person who won all that money. All I ask is you should slide me a couple thousand my way. I'm not asking for much, just slide a couple thousand. But catch this, it's $1.58 billion. You're getting paid in 30 annual installments. I did the math before I got in front of the camera. That's $52 million. Every payment, 30 payments, $52 million. You see why I'm asking, slide me a couple thousand my way? That's just water in the bucket to you. And the chances of winning a Mega Millions prize, no matter the cost, is 1 in 302.6 million. That's incredible. So you just, to put it even more perspective, look at it like this. A Syracuse mathematics professor said that you can buy a lottery ticket every day for 80 years, two times a week, and you would still have a bigger chance of being struck by lightning than winning a prize. So congratulations. We're going to be here all morning long for this Mega Millions prize winner. So we're going to send it back to you guys in the studio. We're live in Neptune Beach. I'm Tristan Hardy, First Coast News, on your side.
All right, Tristan. And to be perfectly clear, the winner does not have to go to that Publix. It's just fun to be there in the moment where it all happened. They're going to have to make their way over to Tallahassee. They get to remain anonymous for they eventually will know their name, but 90 days after they claim their prize, they can still remain anonymous.
Oh, I know.
So that
we're
way,
to say hi.
They can get their affairs in order. Tristan, thank you. We'll check in all morning. Bye.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. Woo! Right. We're so excited. So, you know, it'll be a while before we know, unless they, you know, decide, hey, I want to be known publicly. But they're probably, like, still, like, just ecstatic and, like, oh, my God. But I was looking at what we're, a lot of people are wondering. I mean, like, was it a group or just one person or a family? Are they a new player? If they've been doing this, been playing a lottery for years? You know, there I see so many questions from the information that I'm looking at. So many people just want to know. So Publix side by side. That's not very nice. That put a light on that in an innovative way. We've had Walgreens close to one another, and I know in Dallas area, like close to Waco, I've seen like Walmart close to one another, very close to one another. Like the Walmart, you know, the Walmart that we know, and then Walmart grocery market. And I love it, just Walmart groceries, just a Walmart member grocery, the grocery market. But, yeah, wow, that is super amazing. Let's see, the do's and don'ts. Cousin Linda's not going to be with us today. She's out running errands. She tested. And I just knew she would be excited and ready to talk about the lottery win. But when she does return, you know that definitely will be one of her big topics. Wow. Winning $1 million Mega Millions ticket sold in Texas. But the ticket for 1.58 jackpot sold in Florida. And they must have heard our conversation last week talking about lottery winners not being in the South and the Deep South. So winning 1 million Mega Millions tickets sold in Texas, but the ticket for 1.58 billion jackpot sold in Florida. This is from Rebecca Salinas, KSAT.com. And the Texas Lottery Mega Millions. Two people who bought Mega Million tickets in Texas didn't wake up billionaires on Wednesday, but they are a lot richer. The Texas Lottery says winning 1 million Mega Million tickets were sold at the Circle K at 8205. I like I've won the lottery. 8205 Brody Lane in Austin, and at the In-N-Out gas station at 10197 Alameda Avenue on Socorro in El Paso County. The tickets match the winning numbers drawn Tuesday night, 13, 19, 20, 32, and 33. They did not, however, match the yellow jackpot ball of 14. Instead, the 1.58 million Mega Millions jackpot ticket was sold at a public store in Neptune Beach, Florida. For the big win, there had been 31 straight drawings since the last time someone won the game's jackpot on April the 18th. That enabled the prize to steadily grow to be the third largest ever in U.S. history. Mega Millions jackpot winners are so rare thanks to odds of 1 in 302.6 million. The 1.58 billion jackpot will go to the winner if they opt for annuity doled out over 30 years. But people usually prefer a lump sum option, which for Tuesday's jackpot was an estimated $783.3 million. The prize money is subject to federal taxes, many sole tax lottery winners. Mega Millions is played in 45 states, Washington, D.C., and U.S. and Virgin Islands, as I've stated numerous times. Rebecca Salinas joined KSAT in the fall of 2019. Her skills include content management, engagement, and reporting. So thank you for that news report. So I'm glad I seen that through my research being live on air. I'm glad I seen that before concluding the show. I'm moving on to other hot topics. So the do's and don'ts of winning lottery. Well, on the website Money Crashers, And this is from Brian Martucci from April of this year. Money Cratchers, that's the website. Even though I've never really dreamt of winning the lottery, I'll be dishonest if I said I never thought about what might happen if I did score a life-changing jackpot. Like many fellow players, I'm not sure I'll be prepared to handle everything that came next. It seems like every year news break of another multi-million-dollar winner who went broke or worse because they weren't ready to manage their newfound wealth and all the expectations that came with it. No one wants to look back on a big lottery win and think that's when everything started to go wrong. But with careful preparation and the right mindset, no one has to. If you recently scored the big jackpot, it's time to learn what you should do in the event of a significant lottery win. Before claiming your prize, before the prize claiming process, and once the money tap begins flowing. What to do before claiming your prize? Money Crashers advise sustained good fortune rests on a solid foundation. After confirming your ticket is indeed a winner, but before rushing out to claim your prize, take a pause. Yeah, take a deep breath. I look, thank God. I'll be thanking God and, oh, Lord, paying my tithes. I will pay my tithes before anything. Even as you take steps to protect your winning ticket and identity, reach out to trustworthy professionals that can help you manage your new wealth and avoid making any drastic career or lifestyle changes. Protect your ticket. Before doing anything else, take steps to protect your winning lottery ticket. If you lose it and can't consequently prove you're its rightful owner, you'll be right back where you started. At a minimum, make paper and digital copies of your ticket, preferably in two places, an encrypted cloud storage account and an external drive. If necessary, invest in a home lockbox or safe, or store the ticket in a bank safe deposit box. Don't rush to claim your prize. Don't rush out to claim your lottery win as soon as you've secured your ticket. That's critical for two reasons. First, your prize is big enough to attract media attention. Claiming your ticket within a week of the announcement risks creating a bigger stir than necessary. Second, and perhaps more importantly, waiting at least a week to claim your prize allows ample time to plan for everything that comes next. You should be able to wait much longer than a week if you wish. Most lotteries give winners anywhere from 6 to 12 months to claim prizes, but check the issuing authority's rules to confirm you have as much time as assumed. 3, don't quit your job or spread news of your good fortune. Tempting as the prospect is, the period between the realization you're holding a winning ticket and the day you step to claim your prize isn't the right time to quit your job. In fact, you shouldn't tell anyone other than your immediate family, aside from children who are likely to brag about your good fortune, least of all your coworkers. The last thing you need is for your boss to begin looking for your replacement on the assumption you checked out and will soon depart for good. Anyway, there's a small chance you're mistaken about holding that winning ticket. Perhaps the date is wrong or you misread a crucial number. Hire professionals. You probably aren't a tax attorney, a family planning attorney, or a licensed accountant. When you win a lottery jackpot, you need to surround yourself with these 4 types of professionals. In short order, specifically, you're looking for a tax attorney who specializes in helping clients of significant means minimize tax liability without running afoul of the IRS. 2, a financial advisor or financial planner sworn to as a fiduciary. A fiduciary is a legally obligated to act in your best financial interest, not theirs. This won't be as expensive as you might imagine. hybrid solutions like Vanguard Personal Advisor Services combine the ease of robotic advisor with the personalized insights and service of an experienced wealth manager. Vanguard passes maximum advisory fee is 0.30% a fraction of what full service advisors charge. A family law or estate planning attorney who specializes in customizing estate planning documents like wills, trusts, and prenuptial agreements. You can also take care of these documents online through Trust and Will. A certified public accountant who helps wealthy families organize their finances and guide you through what's likely to be a very complicated annual tax preparation process. If you feel uncomfortable about any advice you receive, get a second opinion. Even if you have to pay by the hour for the professional's time, you can afford it now. Number five, change your address and go unlisted. You know what I'm thinking? Oh, my God. I'm channeling Coach Prime back in his days in the unit church and still play it. And many of us must be the money. And address changing and everything. You remember? Must be the money. Oh, yeah. So number five, change your address and go unlisted. Once you claim your prize, you won't be able to avoid folks with their hands out. You're going to hear from people who haven't thought of in years. Distant cousins, long-lost friends, college roommates, and even co-workers from five jobs previous, and not to mention investment advisors and lawyers and of questionable ethical mooring. Though it won't prevent the deluge, taking steps to lower your profile and make it a bit more manageable, you should immediately change all phone numbers and associate with your immediate family to new unlisted numbers while your old phone number will still be visible online. It won't work any longer. Completely dislisting your address is difficult due to the vast number of websites with public available contact information for United States residents, but you can make it more difficult to turn up in a casual search by switching your primary address for all correspondence, including bills, to a post office box. Change your email address and deactivate and preferably delete your social media account. Should you take a lump sum or annual payout? Before officially claiming your prize, you must decide how you want to receive it. You have two choices, a single lump sum payable all at once or an annual payment annuity that's typically spread out over 20 to 30 years. Technically, you don't have to make decisions before claiming your prize, but doing so almost certainly assists with early wealth management and tax planning decisions. And while it might seem obvious that the annuity option is a better bet, the calculation isn't quite that simple. Carefully consider the pros and cons of each option before making a decision. Taking the lump sum payout. When you take a lump sum payout, you don't receive the advertised jackpot amount, which assumes the winner takes the annuity option. Instead, you receive the current cash value of the jackpot, which can vary significantly, but generally adds up to about half the advertised price, sometimes a bit more. Use lottery credit payout calculator to calculate state-specific lump sum annuity payouts after state and federal taxes. Pros of lump sum payout. Is the lump sum a bad deal? Not necessarily. The advantage of taking a lump sum include taking advantage of compound interest. If invested prudently, the miracle of compound interest result in growth exceeding the difference between the lump sum and cumulative annuity payout by the annuity schedule expiration date, though that's far from guaranteed. Locking in current tax rates. The IRS taxes a lump sum payment at present rate taxes. If you expect income tax rates to rise in the future, choosing the lump sum protects you from paying higher taxes later. Later, however, if tax rates remain the same, your overall tax bill could be higher with the lump sum than the annuity. If taking the lump sum bumps you into a higher income tax bracket, potentially getting access to more of your winnings. If you're older or not in great health, there's a significant chance you won't live to see your last annuity payment. To virtually guarantee you get all the winnings to which you are entitled before your death, choose the lump sum. Lower future uncertainty and risk. While lottery authorities are generally quite financially secure, there's no guarantee yours will remain solvent until the end of any annuity period. The cons of a lump sum payout. As rosy as all the pros make it sound, the lump sum option isn't without its cons. The drawbacks of taking a lump sum payment include risk of mismanagement, poor investment decisions, whether your own or those of an incompetent or unethical financial advisor, could wipe out your significantly significantly devalue your winnings, because Lynn and I talked about that yesterday. That's less likely, though still possible. With an annuity, since you won't invest all your winnings at once and will therefore, at least in theory, have time to recognize your advisor isn't acting in your best interest. Next, lower payout overall. You don't receive the advertised jackpot when you choose a lump sum, and your net goes even lower after taxes. Still a lot of money, just not just as much as it could be. Loss of near guaranteed income. An annuity offers the near guarantee of long-term income. That's an enticing prospect for anyone and could make that uncertainty of quitting your job easier to bear. Okay, taking a long-term payout. The annuity option spreads the full advertised amount of the jackpot over 20 to 30 years. Depending on the sponsor's policy, payment size increases with time, meaning the last payment should be the largest. Actual payouts and payout ratio vary by the annuity's time span and the jackpot amount. For example, according to the lottery's credit payout calculator, a $300 million jackpot ticket purchased in Delaware would pay a total of $152 million after taxes on a 30-year annuity schedule. Payment would be $2,710.175.20. Tenth payment would be $3,857,424.08. 20th payment would be $509,930.15. Final payment, $8 million. Oh Lord, I'm a winner. $8,452,090.72. You can use after lotto calculator to estimate your own potential after tax annuity payout. Pros of long-term payout. Taking the annuity may present multiple financial benefits. Its advantages include long-term cash flow. Your annual payment provides new guaranteed cash flow over a multi-decade span, transforming your finances and helping you build wealth for your heirs. Yeah, that's generational wealth right there. Potential for lower taxes depending on the absolute size of your payout and income rates in your home state, if any. Taking an annuity could land you in a lower marginal income tax bracket than the lump sum. That means you will pay less in taxes over the payout period, if not in absolute terms due to the highest cumulative payout, then certain in certain terms. Checks on overspending. Taking the annuity makes it impossible to blow through your entire prize in a matter of months or a few years. Certainly still possible to mismanage an annuity, but literally going broke takes much longer. As a result, it's easy to maintain a comfortable, if not lavish, standard of living on a firm budget when you take the annuity. The cons of a long-term payout. As with most things, the long-term payout option isn't perfect. The major downsides of accepting an annuity include exposure to inflation, because I need to take a sip of water. the heat advisory weather is returning too back to the deep south. Oh, but we had some comfortable days the last couple of days. Okay. Exposure to inflation, because lottery annuities are not typically adjusted for inflation. Their value declines slightly each year, absent rare periods of deflation. Issues related to your death, though policies vary by state, you'll likely be permitted to name just one beneficiary for your lottery annuity. That could be a big problem if you have multiple children or heirs who would typically receive an equity share of your assets. And what about people like me? With no children, no heirs, no husband, you know, I guess favorite charity or something like that. Seriously, risk of insolvency, unlikely though it may be, is directly possible for the lottery responsible for paying your annuity to go belly up without a successor in place, leaving you in the lurch for any payments yet to be distributed. No way to claim winnings ahead of time. Once you choose to accept your payments as an annuity, you're stuck with it. In the event of a costly emergency such as an extended hospital stay not covered by insurance, you might come to regret your choice. The same goes for non-emergency situations like long-term care. What do you do after claiming your prize? After claiming your prize and choosing your payout method, you're ready to execute the plan you've hopefully put in place. What that looks like depends on all the plans you've made, but it generally involves the same basic steps for everyone. Number one, consult with the professionals you hire. These professionals exist to help you, not the other way around. Expect them to do their jobs capably. And if you find you don't trust them, hire new people. Life-changing wealth is scary for those not accustomed to it, so it's vital you have a qualified, ethical team helping you reach informed financial decisions. Two, pay off most debt, leftover student loans, a second mortgage, credit cards, auto loans, personal loans. Doesn't really matter. Now that you're a lottery winner, you have no excuse not to pay your debt. Prioritizing the highest interest debt if you're able. There's one big exception to this rule. If your primary home is mortgage, has a low interest rate, or you decide to upgrade to a nicer house with a bigger mortgage, keep paying it. The wealthier you are, the higher your income tax bracket. The more you stand to save by itemizing your tax deduction. Include mortgage, interest, a big deductible expense for most taxpayers who itemize. Three, start an emergency fund. Yes, yes, yes. Even millionaires run into financial problems. Yeah, because a lot of my wealthy, rich friends, millionaire friends, they're like stressing about money. I'm like, what? Why are you stressing about money? Like, more money, more problems, like the P. Diddy song, remember? Even millionaires run into financial problems. But that's a problem I would like to have. You know, it was gold of mine. It's still a gold of mine. Become a millionaire, billionaire. But if it's over, if it's self-made or winning the lottery, even millionaires run into financial problems. Setting up a healthy emergency fund or adding to an existing one is one of the first things you should do if you're winning. A good rule of thumb is to set aside enough to pay for 6 months of expenses. Bear in mind your expenses will likely increase as your standard of living does, a phenomenon known as lifestyle inflation. Choose a high-yield savings account with an FDIC-insured financial institution such as Chime. Put away money for retirement. Next, allocate a percentage of your winnings to tax-advantaged retirement accounts. If you don't already have a traditional individual retirement account, IRA, open one through a low-cost robo-advisor or self-directed online stockbroker like J.P. Morgan Investing. If you're on an annuity plan, set up an annual contribution for legal maximum. IRS rules prohibit IRA contributions for higher-income individuals, so a healthy lottery annuity will likely disqualify you from contributing to that particular type of account. Five, diversify your investments. If you don't have a taxable brokerage account, set up, open one of your earliest convenience and stock it with tax advantage alternative investments like municipal bonds. You can even invest in non-traditional assets like fine art, masterworks, sales, fractional shares, wine, and cryptocurrencies. But be sure to discuss the potential risk with your investment advisor. Set up college funds if you have school-age kids or want to provide potentially life-changing education aid for someone else's kids. Set up a 529 college savings plan. You know, I have nieces and nephews and friends, you know. Which may come with a state income tax benefit or cover the ESA and make the maximum annual contribution each year. Connect your 529 plan to your college backer accounts. Encourage friends and family members to chip in too. So you have to find the right 529 plan in your state. Give to those less fortunate, most definitely, whether it's to a church. Well, I'm definitely paying my tithes. I'm paying my tithes and paying offerings to my church. I'm a member of my prayer partners, to churches and individuals and ministries that pray with me and pray for me. Look, everybody getting a piece of the pie. most definitely, I'm doing that before anything. Or just a family member facing hard times, consider sharing some of your good fortune. When you give to a qualified charity and itemize your income tax deduction, your deductions could have tax benefits. Eight, learn to say no. Once word gets out, you struck the jackpot. You're going to get a lot of requests for financial help. Some will be legitimate and compelling, others not so much. You are almost certainly encountering some outright scam attempts too. Until you're taking care of everything else on this to-do list, you should decline all but the most urgent handout requests. Otherwise, other people could drain your winnings before you realize what happened. It won't be easy. It's virtually guaranteed that some people will do whatever they can to get you to part with your money, manipulating, pressuring, even threatening you to get their way. Come up with ready-made excuses to parry these requests, such as needing to discuss all financial decisions with your spouse or financial advisor. Final word, playing the lottery is easier than ever these days thanks to platforms like The Lotter and International Clearing House for Lottery Tickets in the U.S. and beyond, but that doesn't mean winning the lottery is likely. The Powerball lotteries exceed 1 in 200 million, for example. You're many, many times likelier to be struck by lightning, according to the National Weather Service. Still, it could happen, and if it does, you want to be prepared. So that is from Money Crushers. Check them out on Twitter and Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and I am signing up for their newsletter. So that is some awesome information right there. Really awesome information. I like that information from Money Crashers. So the live streaming is about to end. I had left from the calling screen when I had not seen anyone had called in to talk about hot topics or talk about elections or talk about the lottery. So I had switched off to share more information. But I thank you all so much for tuning in and for being supporters of Culture Shock and Entertainment Report. Let me provide you with the email information again. The email is Culture Shock, KulturShockent_Beth@yahoo.com. 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 Also, to support with any money contributions, It is, oh, Cousin Linda's. I didn't know Cousin Linda was on. Because I had checked to see if anybody had called. So we have about 15 minutes. So I'm sure she would like to add to what I'm talking about, too. But the Cash App is $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. Cash App is $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. And one more time, $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. And that's for Cash App. And anything you spent definitely goes into the investment and reinvestment of the podcast to, you know, to just continue upgrading, you know, put into equipment that's needed, paying for the Wi-Fi and all that good stuff, definitely being reinvested. And remember, you all, send some more awesome music also. I get a lot of music, but I need it in the right file format so I can upload it onto the playlist. So a lot of you do send me music and music videos, but I need the music in the proper file. So, again, we appreciate you. The show's not over yet because Linda is with us, and so we have about 15 more minutes of live broadcasting, but anyone, no more calls. So calling, the live streams of the calls have ended. Thank you all for the birthday wishes. Big shout out to fellow Leos and August babies. Again, a big birthday shout out to Cousin Linda and I, one of our favorite guys, Nurse Sorette. Salt Bay, and again, I think it's Coach Prime's birthday, too, so a big shout-out to he and my sis, Tracy Edmonds. Big shout-out to them as he celebrates his Leo birthday and so many. Like I said, my cousin Gary's birthday is tomorrow. Mine is Friday. So just so grateful to God for just a wonderful birthday. And thank you all. You know, my thing is send me prayers. Thank you for your prayers and your good vibes. And I want to do my best to do lives on my birthday on Friday. Do lives and interact. Because so many of you try to call me also, and I don't answer random calls. Call the show. Call Cousin Linda and I more often, worldwide friends, and check with us in the chat room. And also when I do lives, come on and talk with me. Let's talk also, but, and thank you for supporting the, podcast that I've created for on Spotify also. Thank you for supporting it also, but, let me go ahead and get off my soapbox so Cousin Linda can talk with us the remaining, 10, 12 minutes. What a surprise. I didn't think you were joining us.
Yeah, I came in, I think, about 11:40 on the line, but you were talking about the lottery winnings. I bought
$20
worth
of... The second hour has been about the lottery. The first hour was about the Mississippi elections and no labels, and, of course, I kicked it off congratulating Publix in Florida, and... yeah, this whole hour has been about the lottery. I even played the announcement of the announcement of the lottery ticket last night. But let me be quiet.
I bought $20 worth of tickets. Me and a friend went in. I bought $10 worth, which was only 5 tickets, and he wanted 5. He wanted to get in on it. However, we didn't win anything. I did some quick picks and chose some numbers. And I think out of the numbers, we may have hit one. No money. We didn't even get a mega ball. So you got to keep on, keep your day job for right now, cuz.
and then the advice that they give us, that you heard that. They advise keep on working. If you're a billion-dollar winner, they still advise us to keep working.
If I win $100,000. Now, back in my younger days, I wouldn't have kept working. Even if I had won just $5 or $6 million, that would have been enough for me to last forever. I don't need a whole lot of money. You know, I don't need to buy a yacht and a private jet and all that.
Well, that's me. That's your cousin. Because Bill made a win the lottery. My yacht, my plane, my tour bus. All of them.
Well, see, I don't need that. Maybe once upon a time I would have wanted it, but not anymore. I've learned to live the simple life. So
you want to live a simple life, all right? But simply, those are my means of transportation I would simply need.
Well, you know, you can always rent or lease. I saw where Magic Johnson had taken some of his celebrity friends on a cruise on a yacht, a private yacht. I think they were in Italy or somewhere. But anyway, the rent was $1 million a week. So you don't have to buy it. You can always rent or lease. Because, you know, you're not going to be on it 24/7, so why waste that money?
I don't know. I might.
No, you'd be broke, Susan. Unless you Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, or...
Right. That's what I'm thinking about. Because we were talking about his simple life, but we were thinking there's something that he does splurge on, you know. And that's just something that I've always said. I want my own plane, and I've always said since my youth, be responsible with the money, but that's something that my own boat, my own yacht, my own plane.
Because look at that, there are things that come with that. You're going to have to pay somebody to sail the yacht for you, a crew, and petrol or gasoline, whatever kind of fuel they use. A jet, you've got all kind of fees with jets. You've got to pay hangar fees at airports. You've got to have flight.
But before the show ends, I'm going to interrupt you. Before the show ends, though, I thought that you would be amazed that the winner, the lottery guys must have been listening to our conversation last week. The winner is in Florida. And then you probably had tuned in. I had called a Texas Mega Millions lottery report where Texas had $1 million winners. I'm like, the lottery guys must have been eavesdropping and listening to us as we spoke about the lack of winners from the southeast to the southwest.
Right. So I see where one was in Florida, because usually it's somewhere like Maine, New York, California.
In Neptune Beach. The top winner is in Neptune Beach, but Texas had two $1 million winners. So
yeah.
They were like, they had all the numbers. They had all the numbers except for that last number. So they won $1 million each. One was in Austin, and I forget, I mentioned where the other one was. But you had mentioned usually when people win, they're near Houston. But when I heard Florida, I'm like, oh, my God. At a Publix, and there are two Publix next to each other. And I'm like, that's even putting a spotlight on those Publix, because they sound very innovative also, those Publix. One of them have like a little wine bar inside.
I have a Facebook friend who lives in Florida, and he won, I don't know if it was the Florida lottery or the Powerball, probably 15 years ago, and I don't know how much he won, but to my knowledge, he doesn't live like royalty. I think he describes himself as having a very good home in Florida, and that's about it. But you've got to have plenty of money. Has the show gone off air?
No, you're still on. That's why I'm listening to you. We only have we have about five more minutes. We have about four more minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was telling you that in order to have those that you want, you've got to be really, really rich and have a lot of income coming in. Because like I was saying, to have a jet, you've got to have a hangar at some airport.
Oh,
you've got to have a pilot.
I was trying to keep the topic on the lottery ticket, on lottery winnings and all of that. Because that's something we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If you win the lottery. And in order to have those things like yachts and jets and what have you, you know, you don't want your money to be gone too quickly. So if you start buying high-dollar items like jets and yachts, you know, it's more involved than just the price of the item. Because in order to have your jet flown, you've got to have like a flight attendant. You definitely have to pay a pilot, and you've got to have fuel. And they really guzzle up fuel and maintenance. So you don't want to just spend your money on those kinds of things. Like I said, you could lease or rent when you want to go somewhere, but to just have it, get a home and pay for your home in cash and then start looking out. For what do you want to splurge on a vacation or a weekend or something?
Well, I hope no one would buy those items before buying homes.
Well, I thought that's what you were saying you would do is buy your yacht and your jet.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Oh,
not at all.
Okay. Okay.
That wasn't what I was saying at all. Not even near.
Okay,
but
well,
we
when you were saying
anything else you would like to say?
I was
about the lottery ticket because we ended yesterday too talking a little bit because we got off track from the political talk. But we're gonna have a couple more minutes. I was surprised to see you had called in because I had been checking for other listeners to call in. So I'm like, let me hurry up and let me take my time and read this from Money Crashers. That was some pretty good advice from the website Money Crashers. They show the pros and cons of choosing either option.
I'll sometimes do the cash, cash option? Not the cash, the annuity, the 26 payments or whatever, hoping that will trigger a win. But it didn't work out that way. Because I had two sets of tickets yesterday, and I did cash option on one and 26 or 25 payments on the other. Still didn't win anything.
Well, I don't think
it makes
a difference. And then they make out a point, too, that the IRS don't care if it's they look at his income. IRS, like, it's money. It's money made. Your money increased, and we want our money. So I don't think it matters. But I choose cash because that's what I want. Cash. I don't have no funds. I don't have no children. And if I did pick annuity, I guess my beneficiary would be like my favorite charity.
Oh, well, they say
you have to choose one beneficiary.
You could choose
that would be my favorite charity.
There's no guarantee that I'm going first.
That's my favorite charity. And I've been working on a nonprofit for years. I need to hurry up and create it. And so when I create my nonprofit, then my nonprofit will be my charity, be my beneficiary.
Okay.
Now I understand why celebrities and wealthy people create their foundations, too, so they can make sure that money is treated right.
Okay. Has this show?
But not yet. Tomorrow is a Travel Thursday. So what will we be talking about on Travel Thursday?
I guess the travel too, because we did travel tips, didn't we? We did the TSA. Pay in advance where you don't have to wait in that long line and tips on getting your passport. So I guess we could talk about places to visit.
Right. And, yeah, staycations and travel abroad. You know what? I was on booking.com, and guess what popped up? Your tour of the Sixth Floor Museum. It popped up.
Really?
On booking.com. Now, it popped up out of nowhere. I'm like, wait a second. It popped up. Dallas and places to tour and the cost, and I think the tour is like $27.50, something like that.
Oh,
I'm like, wait a second. This is your tour? That's your tour? It was your tour. I need to read the details and see if you actually can ride in the car. But it looked like your tour. I'm like, that's Cousin Linda's tour. Oh, my God. I've never in my life ever seen the tour information.
Mm-hmm. That's a big tourist draw.
Right.
A lot of people come to Dallas for that.
Exactly. And that's why I'm shocked I've never even been near it. Now the show just ended, but we concluded this right when you said we'll talk about more travel tips and stuff. But, yeah, that's why a lot of people come to Dallas, just for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what about shopping when traveling? Talk about that.
If you've got the money, Dallas is definitely Shoppers,
no, I'm talking about period. I'm talking about when we talk about traveling Thursday, when you're traveling and shopping and, you know, places people should, because gift shops are expensive too. So in any city, any town, but it's good to get a item from a legit tourism center or gift shop, but also, I like to shop where a local shop, too. It might not be a souvenir, but I like to see what's trending in that certain area. Well, I love to start back traveling. So, because I like to see where local shop at. Like, where you guys shop at? Or where's your favorite restaurant?
Walmart used to have a lot of Texas souvenirs at the front, like
right.
When you're checking out. I don't see a lot of souvenirs for Dallas or Texas anymore. Now, during season, you'll see a lot of Cowboys jerseys, Mavericks, or the hockey team or whoever, but that's during the season.
Right.
So I don't know where you would go to just say this is a Dallas souvenir shop in certain neighborhoods. There might not be a lot of money in that because I don't know if people are buying souvenirs like they used to. Like
right.
If you were in Hollywood or something, you know, Hollywood, what was it, Hollywood Boulevard had souvenir shops just about every other step. But somewhere
right.
Like Dallas is not a walking city, and we don't have a designated Chinatown or designated Jamaica town or anything like that, even though you have a lot of immigrants from all over here. They don't have the dedicated touring shopping area. So it's kind of like catch as you can, because even in the malls, I don't remember seeing souvenir shops.
Right.
I guess at the airport, but they're so overpriced at the airport.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. At the tourist centers and stores and places where you can get stuff so expensive. Yeah, Walmart, when it comes to sports, and Dallas and Jackson both are sports cities, you know, you can find Cowboys. There's a lot of Cowboys fans here. Saints, Cowboys, Jackson State, Mississippi State. At Walmart, you're right about that. You can find in like stadium chairs and stuff like that. And then, you know, Richard Shaw, he still has his business down there on Pascagoula, and then there's a couple other businesses that, you know, promote Jackson State and HBCU. But, like, when it comes to Mississippi tourism, yeah, you used to find a lot of Mississippi tourism. You make a good point. You used to find a lot of Mississippi tourism stuff too.
Yeah, Jackson and Dallas are not walking cities and not pedestrian friendly.
Right.
So you have to know where to go if you want to get some souvenir stuff. But in cities like San Francisco, Miami, or wherever, you know, cities like that, New York, naturally, New Orleans, where they have pedestrian-friendly areas and you can walk. There's a lot of foot traffic. Can go in and shop at souvenir places.
I ran across your postcard you sent Mom and I, Mom and the family from Dubai. So I'm going to post it. remember your postcard you sent us?
Yeah, I thought, because when I bought a bunch of them, this girl had only one postcard style. And they were so ugly that I was afraid that I was going to not get any postcards at all. So I just grabbed a bunch of them. And then we went to another place, and they had a whole ton of postcards. Uh-huh. And so I bought a bunch of them there.
We love the choice you picked for us, and I love it when I run across it. So I pulled it out. I'm gonna post it something before the week's end, because we like the picture that you chose for us to send us.
Oh, good. Because my friend Duck in Portland, Oregon, I thought I had sent him one of the ugly ones, and he said, oh, no, you sent me a real nice one. So I was glad about that, because I was really disappointed in that first batch that I bought. So I might have sent them to some people that I'm not real fond of, or just to be sending or whatever. Because I try to pick
we were glad to know you were fond of us, and Mother just loved looking at your pictures, too, because your pictures that you had posted, I would show them to her, and she just loved how you were just having so much fun.
Yes, I love Dubai, and I want to go back so bad, but definitely not in the summertime. And I sent you something, you know, when I was telling you that it's wintertime in South America? And I think it was Peru or Chile, one of those South American countries, even though it's wintertime down there, they're having like 100 and 105 degree temperatures.
I seen a headline the other day saying 100 degrees in South America, and I was thinking, well, isn't it hot there anyway? But it's supposed to be winter there, so it's hot.
Yeah, they have hot summers. Opposite us, because like I said, when it's wintertime here, it's summer there and vice versa. But it's their wintertime, and you would think they'd be having cooler temperatures, but they're having heat waves like we are.
Peru listen to us often, and Brazil. But I was meaning to ask you, have you ever been to Belize? I would like to go there, but is it safe? I've had a couple of my friends actually live there. My friends from here, I went to school with, actually lived there before.
One of my friends went, and she said she liked it, but that was a good little while ago. I think it's safe. Uh-huh. The place that I'd be kind of leery of is the Dominican Republic, because they had some deaths there and some suspicious. Friend and her daughter went during that time, because I kind of thought they would cancel their trip, but they didn't, and she said she loved it. But I've had enough of the islands anyway. I don't care if I never go back to another island in the Caribbean.
Mykonos? Is that Mykonos?
Yeah, that's free.
Oh, my God.
That's Europe. I'll do some European islands, but none in the Caribbean.
That's a whole other story, right, Cousin Linda?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to go back to the Bahamas, Jamaica. Definitely don't want to go back to Haiti. Once was enough for me. And Cayman Islands.
Haiti, there's been so much going on there. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think
you've been to places where we can't even think about traveling to now. China and Haiti. Never mentioned like Ghana, because Tom Lee got me hooked on going to visit Ghana. Ghana. You never mentioned like Nigeria or Ghana or places like that?
I would like to visit some of those places because you're like one of my friends, Jamie, I can just call his name. He and I are speaking again. So he wants to know, why don't
you? And Tracy and I are speaking. Remember I told you how I know Tracy Edmonds and she and I? She's like, sis, what's up? But we never did talk when her man was him. But hear from her often now. I hear from her often now.
I guess she said what's out of your clutches, and so he's safe.
Right.
But yeah, Jamie was asking me why I didn't go anywhere black. I said, well, I've done the Caribbean, and I don't want to go back. And I've been to Africa because Morocco, but if you're not like in sub-Saharan Africa, black Africa rather than Arab Africa, people consider you that you haven't been anywhere black on the continent of Africa. I'm like, well, I don't care what you call it. Morocco is in Africa. And when I was traveling, those places were really not ready for tourism. They have improved. They've come a long way, but it just so happens when I really started finding other places, Africa wasn't one of them. Now, I did want to go to Kenya back in the 80s because my travel agent who worked for Neiman Marcus, she was making my arrangements to go to Asia. And one time when I came back from Asia and I was in the office talking to her and she was wanting to know why didn't I want to go to Kenya or Tanzania. She's a white girl. Mm-hmm. Those were her favorite places. And she said, are you still the pearl of the Orient? I said, yes, I am. I love it. And she said, well, I love Kenya and Tanzania. And I said, I guess she figured since I was black, those are places I should want to go. And I said, well, I'll look at the tours, but they were so expensive, Bethany. There was no way I could afford to go. And her being a travel agent, I'm sure she got a huge discount. But they were just out of my price range. Now, one of my Facebook friends that I used to work with at AAA, she posted a bunch of pictures recently where she and some of her girlfriends had gone to Kenya. And I would love to do And one of my former classmates.
Yeah, I would love to do Kenya, too. Ghana, Kenya. Is it safe in Senegal? Tom Lee have me wanting to go to Senegal, too.
I don't think so. Now, see, I look at a lot of those videos on YouTube. Just check them out on YouTube, you know, travel to whatever country.
So maybe we can add Ghana and Kenya to our list.
Yeah, we could. I had some friends from Ghana, at least a friend, and she introduced me to some of her friends. She was a really, really sweet person. I love her dearly, and I hate we lost contact. But she was from Ghana, and she introduced me to one of her friends, Lord have mercy, tried to hoop me up with him. No, I don't think so.
One of her gentleman friends?
so she was going with a guy from Ghana. Yeah, now the guy she was going with was nice looking and was an engineer. But the person she introduced me to, Lord have mercy. And he was shorter than I am. Had three children back in Ghana. And you know those countries you can have two and three and four wives and stuff. And now why she thought I would want him, I don't know. Gave him my phone number, so whenever he called I'd tell him I was busy. I'd call him back. I think he finally got the. But no, he just wasn't my type. Because I don't like African men anyway. Never have.
I've been friends with them, but I do like, I like Arab men. Right. But I'm friends. I mean, you're right. I've had many friends and have been good friends with many Africans, but you make a good point. I've never dated. Well, I have a friend in Dallas that's African, but we're just friends. We were just friends. Yep, I was about to say we dated, but we were just friends. We still care for each other. I hear from him a lot on Facebook. But you're right. And people might think we're wrong for saying we're not attracted to African men. But friends and good people to know.
There's a difference
but
in the way
I do like Arab men and exotic men, like Arab men, Egyptians, and stuff like that.
I don't like none but black men. Even though they love white women and anything but a black woman, my preference is black men and black men only.
You sound like mama, and she likes them dark skin too.
Yeah, one while I wouldn't date anybody but dark skinned men, and then one of Tommy Lee's cousins.
Dark skinned men, back in the day, and I think that. Back in my day, people say red bone. You was a gray bone. If they say red bone back then, y'all probably started it. You was a dark skin guy.
Red bone. Red bone and high yellow. But I didn't like anything but dark skin guys. And Tommy Lee had told me that one of his cousins wanted to meet me. And I said, well, how does he look? And he said, well, the girl. Uh-huh. I said, well, how does he look? He said, well, he's light skin. I was like, oh, no, I don't date light skin guys.
You didn't care how he looked.
And Tommy Lee gave him my phone number, and he called me, and we talked on the phone for a year. And when I saw him, I was like, well, he's not bad looking. He was real light skinned. And in fact, he was very nice looking, and he could dance. And then I ended up fell in love with the crazy nigga. And yeah, he got kind of strung out on marijuana and started ignoring me and started cheating on me and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I ain't hanging around nowhere where I ain't wanted. Because, I mean, I used to put up with all kind of stuff from breaking up with him. And finally, ain't no point in me trying to hang on because he was going to Alcorn. Because at first, we were still in I think we were still in high school when he was calling me. And then when I started, because I had started Jackson State and he went to Alcorn. So the distance,
Lord, already rivaled.
the distance was kind of a problem. And then I found out that he had just gone marijuana crazy. And people are like, marijuana don't have no effect. It's better than alcohol and stuff. I've seen some of my friends who just downright get hooked, and he got hooked on marijuana. And I wasn't having sex, and that was another thing. I wouldn't have sex, and so I said, look, if you can find somebody from somebody else, you're welcome to it. So he told me.
Well, we were talking about yesterday when you were saying asking you for money, and then I was like, certain sorts of intimacy, too.
Right. He said, well, you told me that since you wasn't going to give it up, that I could get it from somewhere else. I said, but yeah, you didn't have to be out in public with her. And he said, well, she told me if I didn't take her out in public, that she was going to stop having sex with me. I'm like, okay. So I started dating a guy at Jackson State just accidentally. And he and I had gone down, me and him, his friend, and one of the girls that lived in Georgetown, we were registering at Jackson State, which used to be a nightmare. And we were the last four to get registered. And it was an ordeal. And when we finally finished, it was just like a sigh of relief. And so these two guys, George and his friend Roosevelt, they said, well, why don't we go down to walk down to the Afro and get a beer. Y'all want to go down there and get a beer? And, I love beer. And so I said, well, we don't have to walk. We don't have to walk to the Afro. We can ride because I got a car. And so we got in my car.
That was a nice place of a pub. A pub, a bar, the Afro.
Yeah, and so we went down to the Afro Lounge, and we were drinking beer and everything. So when we finished drinking beer, George asked me if I wanted to meet him on that night and, come back to the Afro, and we could, talk or whatever. And I was like, okay, because I was saying to myself, I don't hear from my boyfriend, Joseph, anymore. So I met George at the Afro, and we just kind of hit it off. And started going together. So then me and George went to the Elks, and Joseph's sister saw me and George.
They just
water
running.
Here's
something that's water running. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So anyway, Joseph's sister saw me and George at the Elks, and she wouldn't speak to me. So I'm like, okay, she ain't been thinking about how her brother been thing. So anyway, that's when
people like that. They know they brothers or cousins or somebody has done you wrong. Then look at you like you done something wrong.
Yeah. So next thing I know, Joseph comes home for the weekend, and came over to my house. And so I'd take him home or something like that. He ended up in my car. I can't remember exactly what happened. So he was like, yeah, the minute my back turned, you cheating on me and stuff. And I was like, me cheating on you? You the one that started the cheating. And he was trying
to
get me back.
That's scary.
So I told him, nope, ain't no way. This is over. Final for good. Ain't no getting back. And he was the only boyfriend that I had that I didn't speak to after a breakup. All the guys that I dated that we dating out, I would still be friends with them or speak to them or whatever. But Joseph, I didn't like the way he acted. I mean, when you said I could get him somewhere else and you ain't giving up nothing, So I'm like, okay.
And then when he see you not having a pity party, then trying to play reverse psychology on you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was with Glenn, I remember
you
he called
him and told him you were just through with him, period.
Yes, indeed.
You always have the most interesting stories. Look, what? Well, we were all into Mary Tyler Moore. You could have had your own show.
Jamie told me that he said
single woman. They just don't know. They should have been showing shows about all women, not just white women when I was growing up.
Oh, well, see, that was the racism in the industry. They wasn't putting black folks on. I mean,
your story sounds more interesting than watching those sitcoms. But they'll steal your stories and put them on the white sitcoms.
But I know James is talking about, ooh, Miss Linda, you have led such an amazing life. And I'm like, really? It don't seem amazing to me, but he swears that from the stories that I be telling and the stuff that I do, ooh, that's just so amazing. Ooh, we and you just traveled, and I didn't think I was doing anything different from anybody else if they hadn't wanted to do it.
Right. Wow, that's an interesting story. And I said, yeah, I definitely want us to talk more about relationships. So I'm glad you shared that relationship story. Because, all ages need stories. That story can help everybody, all ages. And mommy's always say, I'd rather be a young fool, not an old fool. And I be trying my best not to be an old fool.
Ain't no fool like an old fool. And I didn't want to be any kind, young or old.
Right. But wow, that was Tommy's cousin. Lord have mercy. And he was light skinned. Oh my God! And you probably said, "I knew better than this."
Telling
you. You probably said I knew better than you because your butt high, yo.
I'm like, I hadn't dated no light-skinned dudes, so I don't know why did I change up and change my, not really preference, but why did I end up, but he was so nice. He was just so nice.
Got the taste of that college life. Got the taste of that college life and went to his head.
Yeah, the first 2 years of our relationship, he was just wonderful. But when he went down to Alcorn and got hooked on marijuana, and I don't know what happened down there, child. It was like some evil something got inside of him. So the last stayed, it was rocky, a very rocky relationship.
Wow.
They telling me, don't go to the Elk Fair tonight. Stay at home. Don't go. And crazy me, I stay at home. And my mama was like, well, honey, you shouldn't let him tell you what to do. I know.
Right.
Yeah, I guess he didn't want me out there, because he was going to be with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally wised up, and I think I stayed with him so long because, like I said, he wasn't bothering me for sex. I was not sexually
active. And like me and Terry, you need to cut them, cords. And you say you stayed with him longer than you. You probably surprised some of your friends. You probably surprised my sister Dane.
I don't think she and I ever discussed Joseph. We really didn't. At least if we did, I don't remember. I know I discussed him a lot with some of my girlfriends. But he was crazy about me at first because one of my friends came back and told me. And some of the guys I know, because they went down to Utica at first.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends and Joseph went to Utica. And but it's when he went to Alcorn that he just got crazy when he went to Alcorn.
Wow. Some of my neighbors, you might know them, the Guyans. They said they met at Alcorn. They're teachers, retired teachers. They live on Norway. But they said they met at Alcorn. Wow.
No.
So when my Alcorn friends talk about how, because I had a good friend, he passed away though at age 45 in 2010, who was a graduate of Alcorn. He graduated in the program. Chris Neal, you might have met Chris Neal because he used to travel, he used to come to Dallas and everything. But I never seen like he was a nuke too, a Kappa. I know it seemed like Alcorn was kind of out there, too. Compared, people love to talk about Jackson State, but Alcorn,
yeah,
they had their fun, too, back there in the woods.
They did. They used to go to this place called the Teepee. Because Janet Smith, there was some little guy down there that she was crazy about. I can't remember his name, but Janice was crazy about. It might have been David Fouché. Yeah, I think his name was David Fouché. And she was just crazy about that boy. But I went down to Alcorn to see Joseph. Me and two guy friends of mine drove down there one Sunday to see him. That was when we were, still in madly in love and stuff. And then I went down there to Jackson State homecoming. Alcorn wasn't for me because you talking about down in the sticks and stuff. That just wasn't for me. I need some city life because that's like when I travel.
Right.
And people say, well, why don't you go here or why don't you do that? I'm like, no, I need some concrete. I need to be in the city.
I know you said you stopped talking to him. Did you ever bump into him? Or have you ever hear about him nowadays? I bet he says to this day, Linda, the one that got away, I messed up. I bet he tells people that now. She's the one that got away. I messed up.
I think he passed away. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I saw him. Yeah, I saw him like, maybe 9 or 10 years afterwards because he was working. I saw him in a shoe store. At Metro Center, and I could tell he was a shoe salesman, and I started to speak to him, but why even bother? And we looked at each other, he didn't say anything to me, and I didn't say anything to him, and then I heard he got married, and I don't know what happened to that. Like somebody said he got married and went to Florida, and I asked somebody who knew one of his cousins, and I think they say he had passed away. I'm not sure, so I don't know.
And
but
even though he married somebody, I bet you were the one that got away. He probably would think, I messed up. I'm the one that messed up. Stop being himself.
Dating some old girl. that he was having sex with. I wonder, was it worth it?
Right.
You know.
No.
Rather than trying to curb his sexual appetite and missing out on me, a good thing. But
right.
You know, he may have been very, very happy in the direction that he took.
Mm-hmm. Hanging with the boys, doing what they were doing.
And what's so funny, I forgot about this.
Your girlfriend at Jackson State. Your girlfriend at Jackson State.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you know, I told you when I quit Joseph, it was because I had started dating this guy named George. Both of them last name was William.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, George was telling me that one night some people from Alcorn, some dudes from Alcorn came by his apartment. He and he had a friend from, they were from Grenada. So he and his friend
mm-hmm.
from Grenada had an apartment on Minerva Street in West Jackson. And he said these
mm-hmm.
dudes from Alcorn came by, and he said, Linda, one dude was just really high on the grass, weed or whatever they were calling it. He said this dude just went in our refrigerator and started eating raw bacon. And George said he told his roommate Nate. He said, Nate, man, said, look at that dude eating that raw bacon. And I said, this dude. And when he got through describing him and the folks that Joseph was, I was like, that's Joseph. And I did tell him about it. I said, you went by my friend's house, and they say you were in the refrigerator eating raw bacon. And I guess, you know, they say marijuana give you the munchies or whatever. But, yeah, when you start eating
raw bacon. Golly.
Mm-hmm. And
he didn't know that was your friend you had started dating?
No, he didn't know. And
George
say, you know, he didn't ask nobody nothing. He just got up and went to the refrigerator. And I guess when he saw bacon, he just started eating it.
He could at least say, man, can I fry me a couple pieces? He had to start eating it. Where was George from?
George was from Grenada, Mississippi.
Okay, he was from Grenada. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he can at least say, but man, can I cook a couple, or can you cook me a couple?
Do y'all have some food other than Miss Bacon?
Is it something I can eat right now?
Can y'all take me somewhere to get something to eat? But I get that, like I said, they make it sound like he was just really strung out. Joseph might have been on something other than marijuana.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I hope he went on that heroin. That heroin was popular back then, too, right? But
Not really. Not among black people.
What was popular back then?
Not among people that I knew. It may have been popular with some people.
He probably shouldn't have been on that grass, on that reefer. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody may have put something in his.
People just can't do that. Cause I can't. Mother said she was glad. I might have my personal relationship problems, but Mama was glad I never got on drugs. I love to drink. You and I love our beer and stuff like that. But she would be proud that I don't drink a lot anymore. But she was like, ooh, like I'm so glad you never got on drugs. Thank God. I might have my other problems, relationships and failed relationships and all that. But Lord. She was, I'm so glad you did not get on drugs. And Leah, I never heard you even talk about anything other than, you know, beer and cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to like to drink. Me and my girlfriends used to love to go out and over imbibe. How come y'all be getting so drunk? Girl, I don't know. We just like to. Every weekend we had to go to the Stevens, which is now those apartments up there on Sunset. You might have heard your mama or my mama talking about
Stevens Rose. Mama always told me Stevens Rose Room, ballroom.
Yeah. Stevens Rose.
Mama, oh my God, to her last days. And probably your mama too probably told me stories. Oh, because I think that's where mama saw James Brown. I think she said James Brown came through when he was just wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. She said he was new.
That's what my mama, yeah, she said they paid 50 cents to see James Brown at Stevens Rose. See a lot of folks there.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I miss Mother's stories about Stevens Rose Room. And she told me, did it have like a hotel connected to it or something? And I'm like, one of these establishments had like a hotel,
well,
but it was elegant. It wasn't like one of those just overnight things. But I'm like, black people need more things like that today. But I know what you mean, we can't go back to that. But why can't we have creative ideas for 2023?
Because we still want to go to white establishments. That's what I'm telling you about Ferris Street. See, we went to those places because we didn't have any choice, and we really, really enjoyed it.
Good point.
But here they come with this integration. Because I remember when my friends started going to these white clubs, because they started going to, I think it was
and that's when places like Stevens Rose Room, is it Rose Room or Ballroom? Is that when places like that start closing down?
Rose Room, yeah.
Right.
Well, see, we used to go to the black clubs, and now the Elks had a private part downstairs for their members only. Mm-hmm. And the upstairs was open to the public where we would be dancing. They'd have bands. I mean, Lil Milton and a lot of, groups like that, especially on the Chitlin' Circuit, used to come perform at the Elks.
Right.
And Stevens Rose Room, they used to come there. And then we had a black hotel. It was Edward Lee Hotel. There was Summers Motel, and that it had the subway, and I'm trying to think of some of the other places.
I didn't go to the subway lounge. The subway stayed popular up until the 90s, and my friends, they would go to subway, but it used to be jam packed, and like some of my favorite local singers would be performing there. But my friends would tell me it's one way in and one way out. I'm like, that not safe. As many people I would hear about being jammed up in there too. Like, that is not safe. But I never heard anything happening where, people had to rush out that one way in, one way out.
Well, me and my girlfriend did one night, and I had bought my beauty. I had bought these pants, these wool bell-bottom pants and a matching turtleneck sweater. And me and my friend Mary Ann went to the subway that Saturday night. And we were sitting there drinking beer, just having a good time, listening to the DJ, because the subway was tiny. It was a small club. And the next thing I know, it was a couple sitting behind me and Marianne. And the next thing I know, here comes this woman in there, and she done broke a beer bottle across the table. Motherfucker, so-and-so. And your glass, water, beer, everything, naturally, it splashed over on me and got some of it got in my afro. I turned around and looked and saw that woman with that broken beer bottle and a knife. And next thing I know, me and Mary Ann were getting our purses, trying to get out of there, and folks were trying to get out the club. And so then how this woman and her, it was either her husband or her boyfriend and his woman. I don't know where the woman went, but me and Mary Ann flew up in the lobby of the Summers Hotel, and then we could hear all this commotion out on the sidewalk. And so they came up in the hotel, and I don't know if this was Mr. Summers or who, but it was a man, and they said, y'all gonna have to take that out of here, take that out of there, because this woman was still hollering and cussing and had this knife. And then they were out on the sidewalk, and then I think he pulled a knife on her because she was like, cut me, motherfucker, cut me. I've been cutting this fuck. And we were laughing but still scared. But, yeah, honey, that was the only time I had ever
And that's one reason, as bad as I would want to go, I never did get the opportunity to plan to go. But I thought it was small, and then I know it would be hundreds of people jam-packed. This is in the late 80s and 90s. I'm like, that's not safe, one way in, one way out. And you said you did experience that. Oh, my God.
I think most black places had one way in and one way out. I don't remember them having no 2 and 3 exits.
Well, I did get a chance to experience the Elk Club, too, like you mentioned, the top floor and the bottom floor during the 80s and the 90s. The fraternities used to always have, like, the best parties. I think the Omegas, the purple and gold fraternity, they used to have, like, a lot of fraternities. But I heard recently that Mr. Holly and probably Mr. Jones, who you said lost his wife recently, I had heard from one of my friends that they had been doing like a jazz collective at the Elk recently. I know someone told me that like last summer. So you know Mr. Holly and I've been doing like jazz collectives at the Elk. I'm like, no way. They're like,
Yeah, Bernard would put stuff on there about being at the Elks, and I'm like, that place ain't caved in yet. Because when we were going out there in the 60s and 70s, I used to be so scared the second floor was going to fall into the first floor because the floor was
good. So you felt that way. Look, we felt that way in the 80s and 90s, but we kept partying, so you make a good point. If I was partying at the Elks, I could have gone to the subway.
And the Elks had one bathroom, and girl, it would be pissing there up around your ankles. You had to wade through the piss of water to use that one commode. But we just loved it in this parking lot. Big old potholes. And so they had, I remember when they paid off the mortgage. And boy, they had a mortgage burning party. Yeah, we own the Elks now. This is ours. We don't have no more mortgage payments. So we went to the mortgage burning party. It would dance. And I told my mama, I said, now I know they're going to pay the parking lot now. I know they're going to fix the bathroom. I know they're going to do something with that flow. Girl.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because now you're reminding me of the good times in the 80s and 90s, and that parking lot was still the same way, and it sounded like the restroom was.
But
we had the best time. And you're right, look so pretty going in with the makeup and looking good from head to toe. And then when you come out, oh, Lord.
And they had some of the best barbecue. I don't know if they were still cooking barbecue when you're there, but girl, that was some of the best, most tender barbecue. And my girlfriend used to work there. She was a waitress. And one of our teacher's husbands used to manage the place, Lindsay. And I know we had to see this teacher at Lanier, Miss Lindsay. And when we got to the Elks, when we started going to the Elks, and Alice Faye would be talking about her friend, her manager or her boss, Lindsay. I didn't think nothing about it. And then one day she told me, she said, yeah, that's Miss Lindsay's husband. I'm like, what? Lindsay is Miss Lindsay's husband? Because I just kind of thought that her husband would be a teacher like she was. But, in fact, they had a club across the table. Yeah, old juke joints and stuff.
I noticed a lot of teachers, they love working at clubs because I would go to clubs and there's my teacher working at the club, our co-owner. Like, I co-own this. What? I own this. Like, Mr. Mitchell owns suits. He still owns suits. He was our band director at Callaway,
well, you know
Mr. Joe Mitchell. What? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Soup died. I think this funeral either this weekend or last week might be out. I can't remember.
I didn't know. I don't be on Facebook much. And his son Joe, nobody told me. I'm shocked. He died in his funeral this weekend.
It was all over Facebook because I reposted it several times. I even put some little notes on there about how I used to love to go to one of his clubs. Because if you went to
I hadn't even heard. And you would think, I hadn't seen on the news. Like, that should be on the news. Oh, Lord. I don't be on Facebook often.
I
post on Instagram and let it post. And then I look at my messages or I look and see what you're doing. And certain people I look at because I don't get your notifications often. I do get your notifications now when you tag me. And so, you have to tag me because I hadn't seen anything, not even in my Callaway, my year. You would think they would say we have lost Mr. Mitchell. I haven't seen anything in the past couple weeks about him tagging.
Yeah, it was
I would think my class. I have to go to his son's page. Oh my God, I did not know. And sometimes I check and see what's going on at Sisters and All. I did not know he had paid.
Well, I sent Sharon a text message and told her to tell Mildred. And I talked to Mildred the other day.
And I didn't talk to them in ages. Because I had been saying I was going to leave something over there at her house. I hadn't talked to them in ages. But wow. But I hadn't seen anything.
Child, I used to have some fun at Soups, and I was crazy about the one he had
He was a fun teacher, a fun band director, and I loved him at Soups, and oh my goodness, and his son. So I have to go to his son's page, and I'll go to Soup page.
Crazy about Soup. One of the nicest persons you ever wanted to meet. And if you went to his club, you didn't have to worry about no foolishness. It wasn't going to be no mess up. And the club was nice.
Right.
He had some of the nicest clubs in Jackson.
Right. And I know my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Hogan, he used to work at the Hamp.
He
was a quarter one.
He used to work at the Afro Lounge.
My sixth grade teacher, Mr. Hogan, Clarence Hogan, his son, and Clifton.
I didn't like Hogan. He was real nasty. Real nasty.
Why you don't like Mr. Hogan?
He wasn't.
I seen him probably last summer because he's still. I think he lived in Valley North. I seen him last summer driving his Caddy.
Yeah, he had a Cadillac. I remember when we were. Out in front of at the Afro Lounge because he was the bartender there, and then lo and behold, I went to him one time. I was in Jackson and he was there, and they told me he wasn't friendly at all. I'm like, he gonna be running off both couples.
He was my first male teacher. He was my first exposure to a male teacher because he was my sixth grade teacher. But then to be partying, then you walk into a club and they're like, oh, there's my sixth grade teacher.
What's
in here?
Exactly.
Order my drink anyway. Like, well, give me my blank, 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 sex on the beach or whatever.
I guess he didn't care how much it was money.
Right. So I'm going to try to catch out. Hopefully I can get my call in to Pearline. Cause that's why I was concluding the show. I was like, I'm finna call for a line. But I'm gonna try to get in. Hopefully it ain't too late to get in. Sometimes it be locked when we try to call in.
Yeah, it's probably too late. But you go ahead and call them. I'll go ahead and get on off the phone.
They probably still on. I hope I can get in.
Okay.
They might be on, but I might not get in. Right.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.